What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Defocus Media Podcast. I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, and I am joined with Dr. Daryl Glover, who's recently come back from Vision Expo West.
That's right, Jen. I just came back from Vision Expo, and I feel fabulous. I feel super excited, rejuvenated. And I'm super pumped about today's guest as well.
Yeah, I know. You always get so re-energized when you go to these conferences. One, you're learning about great new technology. But two, you're hearing and learning from so many doctors that are doing innovative, unique, new things in their practices. And that's what our focus really is going to be on today's podcast, is taking a different look on how to serve our communities differently within optometry.
Absolutely, Jen. You see, we live in a world now where it's a big melting pot. There's all different flavors, all different backgrounds. And as eye care professionals, we have to know how to serve these patients. And today's guests are experts in that, and I'm super excited about it.
Well, without further ado, please welcome to the show Dr. Diana Cantos-Sims.
Hi, guys. So excited to be here.
And we're super excited to also be joined by a student optometrist, Sydney Madrigal. She's in her fourth year at the University of Alabama at Birmingham.
Hello. Thank you for having me today.
Well, we really appreciate both of you guys joining us. And we actually have had the luxury of getting to know each other through the Transitions Change Agent Program. And one of the great things that Transitions does is kind of pair some of the doctor change agents with student optometrists. And Diana and Sydney, that's how you guys have kind of gotten to know each other a little bit more. Is that right?
Yes. We're like really good friends. It's like one of the most amazing things Transitions has done is to pair us. It's just so exciting. I love Sydney. She's awesome.
Well, honestly, I must admit, both of you ladies are quite amazing. But let's get to know you a little bit better, if you don't mind sharing us a little bit about your background.
So the feeling's mutual, Diana. Thank you. I am Cuban American. I'm a fourth year student. I was raised in South Florida. From a young age, I was exposed to that melting pot of cultures down there. And I began my journey of optometry school a few years ago here in Birmingham, Alabama, which was kind of a culture shock at first. But I had, we have a great director of student affairs who made me feel at home from the beginning. And it really has been a blessing in disguise to be able to help the different Latino populations here in Birmingham and really realize the great need that there is for doctors that can communicate effectively with patients. And it really pushed me outside of my limits.
What are some of the things that came as a culture shock to you being a student in Alabama?
Not only is being like a student, but just as being part of Birmingham. When I was first in South Florida, I was just surrounded by so many Hispanics, and I don't really have that same culture, I would say, in Birmingham. I have been able to find a lot of really good friends, but the culture is definitely not the same. And I felt the need to kind of explain myself a little bit more than I would have normally. But it's been like a really huge learning lesson for me, and it's really been great being able to connect with patients here.
And Diana, I know you're an optometrist in Chicago. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you decided to start practicing in that city and serving that community.
Sure, of course. So I was born in Chicago, and I was here until I was around 10 years old, and my parents decided to retire early. They used to own a Mexican bakery in the Pilsen neighborhood in Chicago. And I was born kind of speaking Spanish in my house, but then I learned English. But then my parents retired and I went to live in Puerto Rico for basically 15 years. So I did my high school there. I did optometry school there. And I even met my husband there when he was doing his residency in the optometry school there in Puerto Rico. So I'm Mexican, which is I'm half Mexican, half Puerto Rican, born in Chicago. And the first time I needed glasses, I developed myopia. So nobody in my family knew that I needed glasses. And that's a story of its own. But it's the reason that I went into optometry was because my grandfather, which is Mexican, never, ever, ever had an eye exam. And he knew that he was losing vision, but he just kind of ignored it. And years later, when he finally did decide to do something about it because he couldn't see, he found out he had macular degeneration. And by then it was like really had really progressed. And we all thought, you know, if only someone would have known, you know, he would have had an eye exam sooner. And my father, which is from Puerto Rico, he was born with strabismus and then had amblyopia. He only has one good eye. And so for me, I couldn't believe that in my family, no one ever went to the eye doctor. And when I went to school and I started developing myopia and I didn't know and I couldn't see the blackboard, that's how old I am, the blackboard. and I couldn't see the board. And I wasn't learning like I should, and I was losing interest. The teacher suggested that I get an eye exam. And I will never forget the day that I was sitting in the chair and those lenses on the varopter started going down and I started seeing clear and clear. And I remember thinking, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. This is what I want to do. I want to give the gift of sight to people that can't see. And I remember thinking, you know, if only we would have known, for my grandfather, for my father. And I remember going to the eye doctor and translating for my parents. And they were so confused and they wanted to know what was going on. And so for me, this is like really heartfelt because now there is a lot of diversity. Now there are doctors that can do an eye exam in Spanish. But when I was growing up, that didn't exist. Like there was no optometrist that spoke Spanish or did an exam in Spanish, or that was even a woman, if anything, that I could relate to. So to me, this is like really heartfelt.
I think both of you guys mentioned how important it is to be able to serve the people in the community in the languages that they speak. As I oftentimes feel, even with the best translation skills that I have, or someone so fortunate to bring like a child with them that will help me translate, I know there's something that's being lost in the communication of the especially medical conditions that are complex, like glaucoma or macular degeneration. And having someone that you can speak to in your native language where you're both speaking and understanding the same ways, so much more effective in communicating that disease.
Yes, absolutely. However, it is important. But what I always tell doctors is, you know, they say people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so even if you're struggling communicating in Spanish, or maybe you think your Spanish has a terrible accent, it doesn't matter. Because what matters is that you care and the patients will understand. Somehow they will understand and they understand that you care. So I think that is way more important than trying, you know, to do the exam in Spanish or in perfect Spanish. And yes, a lot of children do function as translators.
I agree with you, though. You really should show that you care. I mean, that makes a big difference. And in order to show that you care, I think it's very important to know the demographic that you're working with. Can you share with us some of the things that are more commonly found in a Hispanic background versus other backgrounds?
I think most commonly, first when you're talking to someone, one of the things is a lot of times they don't really know the difference between like optometrist, ophthalmology, and optician. So a lot of times just taking the time to explain like, hey, you know, optometrists, we care. We're not just getting you like a new prescription to help you see, but we also really care about the health of your eyes. And I think that that's one way that the role of the optometrist can be different, like can be defined really well and differently than it is in many like Latin American countries. Some things that you see a lot in the Latino community, like common health problems that affect the eyes or diabetes, hypertension, pterygias, cataracts, macular degeneration, diabetic ret. And it's interesting because I found that Hispanics actually have the lowest level of awareness of any ethnic group when it comes to the need for UV protection. And a lot of the health problems I just mentioned have a lot of correlation with, you know, protecting your eyes. And so that even though like a lot of people understand that maybe sun can damage the skin, like a really low percentage know that it can also hurt your eyes, which to me is like crazy. And so even like at this point, that would be like a great time to make optical recommendations as well to apply to the health, bringing up like sunglasses, transitions, and really just making that connection of vision and health of the eyes with your patients.
That's really great advice. Actually, Diana, do you have any tips when reaching that and trying to spread that message to the community at large? Because obviously this is information that all of our patients need to know, mm-hmm. but if there's some issue that we're having in spreading the word to different patient populations, how do we better reach them with that information?
Yes, that's a great question. So reiterating what Sydney was saying, especially about like UV protection. So Hispanics are at a greater risk for a lot of eye-related health issues. But one of the things that really impact me is the fact that like Hispanics are more likely to believe that UV protection is like only important in the summer and spring, right? So they actually kind of scold people or like make fun or ridicule people that are wearing sunglasses during the winter or colder seasons. And so that's something that's really hard sometimes for me to explain to them. It's like, no, you need not only UV protection, but also blue light protection, both indoors and outdoors. And so they look at me like I have two heads, like, so wait, I'm supposed to wear sunglasses when it's snowing? And, you know, you have to explain that to them why and why they should protect their eyes. So, and a lot of Latinos or Hispanics, they don't even consider wearing UV protection, which also takes me to light sensitivity. We were talking about that with one of our patients. It's like they tell you during the exam all of the characteristics of having light sensitivity, but they don't call it that because they don't think that they have that. So when you start hearing, you know, like the headaches and the glare and you know, covering their eyes and shading and you tell them, well, you know, this sounds like light sensitivity and there's things that we can do to help you cope with your light sensitivity. And it doesn't even occur to them that they have light sensitivity. So when reaching out to them, one of the things that we do in our office is we make sure that everything we have is bilingual. So if we have a brochure and it talks about UV or if it talks about, you know, diabetic retinopathy, it is so important to have it in Spanish because they feel so much more comfortable being able to read about any condition or anything that they have in their language. And an advice that I give is make sure that these are translated professionally. So you don't want to reach out to your high school, you know, maybe staff's daughter that says she can translate in Spanish. You want to make sure that the translation is correct and it, you know, and it's proper. You don't want to use like colloquial Spanish. And I was talking with Sydney about this. We actually had hired someone in our practice that spoke colloquial Spanish and she said a word that was very offensive, that it's a very everyday word in Puerto Rico. And she offended the patient because the word she was trying to use is, yes, we take your insurance, but it came out to something completely different. And the patient was offended. So make sure that when you do communicate that you're doing it, you know, with proper Spanish and using professional also Spanish and not colloquial Spanish. Make sure that your brochures are either bilingual or in Spanish. And something we do is all of our point of purchase material, all of our advertising, everything we do, we actually do a photo shoot once a year where we post on social media and ask our patients to be models. So what happens is we have all these images of our own patients all over the optical wearing eyewear, sunglasses. So they really relate to the images versus maybe, you know, if you just kind of randomly put a poster up of a collection that you carry that they might not identify with.
Absolutely. I'm so glad that you said that. When it comes to marketing, these companies need to know how to brand better. Absolutely. I'm so happy that you said that. You know, being a Black man, going into different stores or optical outlets, when I look at the marketing of POP, I never see myself. Yes. And that's something that, you know, frame designers, lens designers, they need to realize that, you know, you need to cater to everyone, not just one background. Because when I don't see myself in these images, I feel like the product doesn't really resonate for me or it's not really for me. So it's very important to make sure that you take that into account whenever you are putting out these marketing materials. And also, it's the same thing goes with frame designers. Mm-hmm. There are countless frame designers that do not cater to my face. And for me, that's a huge thing because I have a huge Black population that follows me to have their eyes examined. So I think it's very important to make sure that they have the right eye size, the right temple size, the right colors.
Absolutely. You know,
because there's different things that different backgrounds want. And Deanna, I know you could probably talk about this more than I can because you are a frame designer.
Yes, I can definitely give some really good tips on this because I've been doing it for 15 years and I've developed basically a proprietary program on how to do this. So Hispanics, I mean, we come in all shapes and sizes and colors. But what I found in my demographic, so I have a big, a lot of Mexican, some African-American, but the majority of my patients tend to be like more indigenous maybe. So our faces tend to be wider and a lot of the glasses don't fit. They're not wide enough or they're too big and then they just sit on our cheeks. And so like they don't even sit on our nose. So that was really, really frustrating for my patients and for me too, because I was like, how is it possible that no one is making eyewear that actually fits my patients? And it was the same problem. They were always not wide enough. They were sitting on their cheeks. They would slide down their nose. They came in colors that weren't really, you know, very attractive to our skin tone. And so I would go to Vision Expo and I would, you know, and now obviously there's so many collections that you can look at. But when I started, I was like, you know, I can't find something that will really fit our patients. And that's when my husband said, you know, well, you need to stop complaining and do something about it. And so, you know, little by little, we figured it out. And that's how La Vida Eyewear was born. And basically, I hear my patients. I hear, you know, what they're looking for, what they're looking in comfort, what they're looking for in style. We might take a style that's very popular but doesn't fit right, and we can modify that so that it looks better on us. So I would say, you know, carry a good variety of nice, colorful frames, maybe wider eye size. The alternative fit tends to do well if we have like flatter noses. But again, we come in so many. We come petite. We come diva size. We come in all shapes and sizes. But I would say, you know, don't fill your optical with all these, you know, styles for us, but do have, you know, a small collection for that that is very multiculturally friendly in your office.
So let's talk about this in a little more detail so everyone truly understands what we're talking about here. When we're looking at the frame, are we looking at the A size being 55 plus? Are we looking at the bridge being 18 plus? Are we looking at the temple size 140, 145, or even 150? I mean, break it down so people really understand what we're talking about here.
Okay, so my number one frame right now, like I probably sell that frame three times a day, is a 59 eye size. So like 59, 18, 140. So yeah, it's I want to say 55 and up, but the B size shouldn't be too big. So yeah, that's what I would say.
Thank you. Makes perfect sense. Larger eye sizes fit all types of faces. Keep in mind, you know, we live in a world or in an industry where it's really fashion and function when it comes to eyewear, and the Hispanic population and the Black population, these larger faces, they really like that fashion aspect. So if you don't have a frame that can really cater to them, you know, you're going to lose out on some potential money that could take place. So make sure you invest in the right frame inventory for the demographic that you have.
So now that you mention fashion, I do, since we're talking about tips. So one of the things that I highly recommend and suggest doctors to do is if you want to cater to, you know, multicultural, it is so important that at least with Hispanics, they are really into fashion and they love technology. So one of the things that we've done, we've done extremely well with, is being able to customize their eyewear with the new transition style colors and with the new Gen 8 transitions. So it's been great with the kit that we have where they can see all the 7 colors and the transitions and being able to customize and choose the frame of their choice with the color style transitions of their choice or the transitions style mirror of their choice has been phenomenal for our patients because they like that customization and they also like technology. So the new Gen 8 lenses are so amazing because not only can they get darker faster, but they also fade back 3 minutes faster, which is just wowing our patients right now. So they've taken everything about transitions and made it just, you know, upped it up. And it's like so great, plus the colors. So that is something that I recommend all eye doctors. Like, don't underestimate your patients. They want style. They want technology. And one of the best ways that you can differentiate yourself from other offices is by offering stylish frames and lenses. So I'd like to recommend that.
One other thing I love about transitions is their POP. When I look at their POP, yes, I see myself. I see all colors of the rainbow, which to me brings a big smile on my face. And me putting myself in the patient's place, the consumer's place, I want to go somewhere where I feel welcome. I want to go somewhere where I see myself. And when I see a product and I see my face, I see my skin tone on there, it makes a world of difference for me in regards to me wanting to purchase something.
Yes.
I love that color, especially now, like in social media on Instagram. I follow a lot of like Latin artists and like J-Lo, Bad Bunny, if you've ever heard of them. They all are wearing these super cool like frames, and they have the lenses with all these different colors. And so sometimes even I'll ask a patient like, oh, is there a picture of something that maybe you've seen? And sometimes I know Diana said like she seen people come in with pictures of J-Lo, and you know, it makes it kind of fun, but it also helps you kind of think outside of the box with the patient, and not a lot of people do that, so I like that.
I love that concept, and something that I do personally in my office is that I actually take pictures of myself and post them in my room with me wearing cool frames, with me wearing cool lenses, and opening up that conversation about, you know, style colors or style mirrors, and showing my patients when they're activated or deactivated so that they can see that I'm actually practicing what I'm preaching. I'm actually living this life that I'm telling you about. And when your patients see this, they really look at you as that eye care expert in their area. I mean, that's why they're coming to you. They want to know what they should have, what they should wear. So, you know, just throwing a picture of yourself in your office wearing this technology makes a big difference as well. And it's a great conversation starter.
That's a great idea.
One thing that you guys are all mentioning is that, you know, the Hispanic community does tend actually to be a little bit more on top of fashion, a lot more active on social media. And there's actually really interesting studies from Nielsen data on social media influence. And Hispanics spend more time than other cultural groups on social media. They're also 5 times more likely to share the content on social media that they're consuming compared to non-Hispanic white. And really interesting, 47% of Hispanics ages 13 to 17 say that they use social media pretty much constantly from the moment they wake up until they go to sleep at night. We've got a whole generation coming.
Wow.
Does that sound about right, ladies?
How are you guys using that when it comes to, Diana, marketing your practice, or Sydney, kind of planning ahead for you reaching your patients in the very near future?
Oh, no. Well, those stats sound very accurate because I have 2 teenagers and that sounds exactly like them. But as far as the office, that's a really great question. So we do know that our patients are on social media. And we know because we use social media in our practice to stay in contact with them, stay in touch with them, and it works beautifully in our office. So one of the things that we do is, so if we're going to do a live video, I always go on live in Spanish first, and I'll say, you know, oh, you know, welcome to Buena Vista Optical. Today we're going to do XYZ. And I'll start it in Spanish, and then I'll say, so this video, we will soon go live in English, so stay tuned in a couple of minutes, but if you know someone that speaks Spanish, go ahead and tag them in this video. And so we'll do, you know, maybe a video talking about a new collection that we received, or maybe we did do a demo on the new Transitions Gen 8 unboxing. And so people chime in. And what we've noticed is when we go live, we get people calling us. The last time we went live, we had 8 patients call us to schedule an appointment. Because wow, one of the things that we say is like, you know, you're probably due for an eye exam. It's every year. Give us a call. And then I'll kind of show our receptionist and say, our receptionist is waiting for your call. And then just the phone starts lighting up like a Christmas tree. So they are hanging out on social media. And it's important that, well, I go live in Spanish. And then when I'm done with that, I do the exact same video in English. And it works beautifully because I've tried doing it bilingually. And I forget sometimes to translate something. So it's just easier to switch Spanish and then English. But they are hanging out on social media. They are present there. They're very engaging on social media. And because sometimes we only see our patients once a year, it's important that we, during the year, we stay in contact, or at least we show up on their feed, right? So that's one of the things that we do that works really well for us.
You are so right. I love that concept. You have to be able to touch your patients several times throughout the year, and social media is the key to that. Now, one thing I want to pick your brain about is that I know when my Hispanic patients come in, and tell me if I'm wrong, But when they come in, they bring the entire family.
Yep.
So for me, when I see a Hispanic name on my schedule, I'm like, yes, because I know I'm going to get them, their family members, all their friends, and they're all going to come in and support me. Is this something that's part of your culture, or is this just something that I'm seeing on my own?
That is 100% part of the culture. So Hispanics believe that a family that shops together stays together. And that includes going to the eye doctor. So I don't know if you've ever done a contact lens evaluation on someone, but in my office, if Carlitos is getting contacts, they bring grandma, they bring their cousin, they bring their siblings. And so we've actually had to modify like the contact lens area so that they can fit their, you know, family of four or five, because everyone's exciting because he's getting contact lenses. And you're right. Then, you know, they bring their grandma, and studies show that some Hispanics up to three generations either live in the same household or very close together. So yes, you're going to be seeing a lot more of their family members because that's how we roll.
I love it. I think it's great.
You mentioned you've made the room around the contact lens training area bigger. Okay. Most doctors say like, oh, nobody's allowed back here. Just the patient and the technician. They like actively try to keep people away because it's annoying to them, right?
Yes.
But instead, you've tried to make it friendlier to the patients and just like simple things like that. Oh my gosh, more doctors need to be accommodating and welcoming to patients and encouraging them to get involved. Because if we shove everyone out into the waiting room and say, nobody's welcome back here, like it's an isolating experience, and the rest of the family isn't going to, you know, feel that warm fuzzies about getting their eye exam.
So tell me this, what's the one thing that we should never, ever do in the exam room whenever we have someone from the Hispanic population come into our exam rooms or our office?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things for me is just like remembering to continue to look at the patient, even if you don't really know like Spanish perfectly, just trying, or maybe learning some basic phrases in Spanish, including like greetings, key eyewear terms, because trying is like the biggest thing for the patient. For example, I'm right now on my externship, and I had a little Hispanic lady that was super sweet, and everyone just gave her to me to see her since I knew Spanish and I could talk to her and do the exam easily. And then towards the end of the exam, she's like, Am I still going to see the doctor? And of course, she had like this really special bond with him just because he tried so hard to talk to her. And I think that that really makes a difference. And so even though you might not know everything perfectly well, it really does make a difference for the patient. And I think just not trying would be a mistake.
And for me, I would say definitely, and I know this might be hard for some offices, is to accommodate their family because they really do, you know, go to the eye doctor as a family. It's definitely a culture thing. I know my parents did it mostly because I would be the translator. And that occurs as well where the parents don't speak English and the child is translating. So accommodating, you know, the family members in the exam room. I know some doctors may think, well, I only have one chair and that's it. But really what you're doing is you're inviting the entire family into your practice because they will tell their family and their friends and their neighbors, and they will say how amazing you are just for the fact that you took the time to explain, you know, what they had or what they can do to see better. So I would say definitely try your best to accommodate big families. One other tip that I have is it's very, very helpful if you have a staff member that is fluent in Spanish. In my office, everyone speaks Spanish. Like every single person that works for me speaks fluent Spanish because 80% of the people I see prefer to speak Spanish. Obviously, my demographic is mostly Spanish speaking, but it is very helpful to have someone that is bilingual or trilingual in your practice. Remembering again for their Spanish to be more professional and not so colloquial, where, you know, they might say something that's offensive to another culture in the Spanish language.
Wonderful, wonderful tips, ladies. Esteemed colleagues, what we got to realize is that we live in a big melting pot. And by 2050 or sometime around that time, Hispanics will be the majority population in the United States. So if your practice is not prepared for this, you're going to suffer. So what you need to do is take some of these tips and incorporate them into your day-to-day activities.
Right.
You want to make sure that, number one, you have products that can accommodate Hispanic faces. Number two, you want to make sure you have that POP. Number three, you want to have someone that may be Hispanic in your practice or someone that at least knows how to speak Spanish. You want to have these things in order to have a successful practice. Don't wait till it's too late, because your competitors will definitely step up the game and make sure that they're covering all these bases. Ladies, if anyone wants to learn more about how to serve a multicultural community or the Hispanic community in particular, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
So with me, I'm on Instagram. So I'm Diana Canto Sims on Instagram. I'm also La Vida Eyewear on Instagram. And I'm also on Facebook. And feel free to ask me any questions.
And then for me, you can reach me at Latina Optometrist on Instagram. And as well, you can ask me any questions. I really like to communicate with future students and students who are aspiring to be in the optometry profession, because a lot of us don't really have that role model in our life and in our families. So I really think that that's a really big deal to have multicultural role models who are doing big things. So
thank you dearly, ladies. And for those that want to take your practice to the next level, there's great information available and multicultural and style resources available on transitionspro.com. And also new infographics will be available soon. And yes, they are in Spanish.